Ideals are very important in one's life. Without ideals, you cannot move. Whether you achieve them or not is immaterial. But one must try and approximate them. We are born and reborn countless number of times. And it is possible that each being has been our parent at one time or another. Therefore, it is likely that all beings in this universe have familial connections. Swords can be turned into plowshares, as has been mentioned in the Bible. It's a beautiful image, a weapon transformed into a tool to serve basic human needs, representing an attitude of inner and outer disarmament. The modern economy has no national boundaries. When we talk about ecology or the environment, when we are concerned about the ozone layer, one individual, one society, one country cannot solve these problems. We must work together. Humanity needs more genuine cooperation. The foundation for the development of good relations with one another is altruism, compassion, and forgiveness. I myself still occasionally become irritated and angry and use harsh words toward others. Then, a few moments later, when the anger has subsided, I feel embarrassed. The negative words are already spoken, and there is no way to take them back. Although the words have been uttered, and the sound of the voice has ceased to exist, their impact still lives on. Hence, the only thing I can do is to go to the person and apologize. Isn't that right? If we consider material progress, we see that research started by one person can always be continued by another. But this is not possible with spiritual progress. The realization we talk about in the Buddha Dharma is something that has to be accomplished by the individual. No one else can do it for us. There is a drunkenness from the power that we give ourselves over things. This drunkenness leads us to stop controlling our appetites. We want more and still more. Instead of quelling the fire, we reignite it. Instead of seeking inner disarmament, the only kind that counts, we multiply our tools of conquest. And we even forget to check whether the fulfillment of our desire is really the one we had wished for. Good motivation causes good action. The beauty of action is in the method, and Buddhahood is the beauty of result. Generally, beauty means something positive. But if you are subjectively too attached to it and handle it wrongly, it can lead to destruction. But then I wonder about the definition of beauty. Can you consider the art of killing as beauty? Especially painless killing? Or the art of warfare? Little expense, but a huge amount of destruction. Maybe it is considered as beauty. It is through listening that your mind will turn with faith and devotion, and you will be able to cultivate joy within your mind and make your mind stable. It is through listening that you will be able to cultivate wisdom and be able to remove ignorance. Therefore, it is worthwhile to engage in listening, even if it costs your life. Listening is like a torch that dispels the darkness of ignorance. And if you are able to make your mental continuum wealthy through listening, no one can steal that wealth. It is supreme wealth. While you are engaging in the practice of giving, you should do so with great happiness and radiance on your face. One should practice giving with a smile and with mental uprightness. Compassion can be roughly defined in terms of a state of mind that is nonviolent and non-harming or non-aggressive. Because of this, there's a danger of confusing compassion with attachment and intimacy. We have genuine friendship when it is based on true human feeling, a feeling of closeness in which there is a sense of sharing and connectedness. I would call this type of friendship genuine because it is not affected by the increase or decrease of the individual's wealth, status, or power. The factor that sustains that friendship is whether or not the two people have mutual feelings of love and affection. We should not be too concerned with our fame or what people say about us, either bad or good. Because in reality, fame could not make any serious difference to one's life. Therefore, we should have our priorities right and seek what is truly of value, what is truly of meaning to our life, not just mere fame, which is, after all, empty sounds. Some individuals sacrifice many of their material possessions, wealth, and even their lives to achieve fame. This type of obsession with seeking fame is very childish and is quite foolish. You should see that all the external dirt and dust around you is basically a manifestation of the faults and stains within your mind. The most important aim is to purge these stains and faults from within your mind. Therefore, as you cleanse the environment, think that you are also purifying your mind. Many people think that to be patient and bearing loss is a sign of weakness. I think this is a mistake. It is anger that is a sign of weakness, whereas patience is a sign of strength. For example, a person arguing a point based on sound reasoning remains confident and may even smile while proving his case. On the other hand, if his reasons are unsound and he is about to lose face, he gets angry, loses control, and starts talking nonsense. People rarely get angry if they are confident in what they are doing. Anger comes more easily in moments of confusion. I used to feel that if I ever gain a state of cessation, I shall really take a good rest. Once we have attained such a state, we could take a good rest and a real holiday in the true sense of the word. Until we get to such a state, it is foolish for us to be complacent. When we have attained a state of cessation, we have truly reached a very secure ground. I find that there are two types of fear. In one kind, things are quite delicate or critical. At such times, I know that I must take a decision, whether I know what to do or not. First, I try to consult with my friends and reflect on it. Then I take a decision and act, and I never have any regret. Ultimately, this is very much related to motivation. If I have no negative, selfish motivation, deep down, I will have no guilty feeling. A second kind of fear is based on imagination. To overcome that, you need calmness so that you can investigate it more closely. When you look into it in detail, your imaginary fear dissipates. If a person has never encountered love toward himself or herself from any quarter, it is very sad. But if that person can meet even one person who will show unconditional love, simply acceptance and compassion? If he knows that he is an object of someone else's affection and love, it is bound to have an impact, and this will be appreciated. Because there is a seed in himself, this act of love will start to catalyze or ripen that seed. Crucial to the hermeneutical approach is the Mahayana principle of the four reliances. These are 1. Reliance on the teaching, not on the teacher. 2. Reliance on the meaning, not on the words that express it. 3. Reliance on the definitive meaning, not on the provisional meaning. And 4. Reliance on the transcendent wisdom of deep experience, not on mere knowledge. In one sense, we can say it is delusion itself, in the form of the wisdom derived from delusion, that actually destroys the delusions. Similarly, it is the blissful experience of emptiness induced by sexual desire that dissolves the force of sexual impulses. This is analogous to the life of wood-born insects. They consume the very wood from which they are born. Such utilization of the path to enlightenment is a unique feature of Tantra. When we are able to recognize and forgive ignorant actions done in one's past, we strengthen ourselves and can solve the problems of the present constructively. It is necessary to have a combination of hearing, thinking, and meditation. When you start practicing, you should not expect too much. We live in a time of computers and automation, so you may feel that inner development is also an automatic thing for which you press a button and everything changes. It is not so. Inner development is not easy and will take time. The main cause of depression is not a lack of material necessities, but a deprivation of the affection of others. Anger and hatred cannot bring harmony. The noble task of arms control and disarmament cannot be accomplished by confrontation and condemnation. Hostile attitudes only serve to heat up the situation, whereas a true sense of respect gradually cools down what otherwise could become explosive. We must recognize the frequent contradictions between short-term benefit and long-term harm.